Since the end of August, I made a broadcast directly to my fellow countrymen. It is therefore worthwhile looking back over this half year of struggle for life. So that is, what it has been and what it is, to see what has happened to our fortunes and to our prospects. At that time in August, I had the pleasure of meeting the President of the United States and drawing up with him the declaration of British and American policy, which had become known to the world as the Atlantic Charter. We also settled a number for war, some of which have had an important influence upon its course. In those days, we met on the terms of a hard-pressed combatant seeking assistance from a great friend who was, however, only the German army's defeated and striding on with growing momentum to Leningrad, to Moscow, to Rostov, and even farther into the heart of Russia. It was thought a very daring assertion when the President declared that the Russian armies would hold out till the winter. You may say that the military men of all countries, friend, foe, and neutral alike, were very doubtful whether this would come true. As for us, our British resources were stretched to the utmost. We had already been, for more than a whole year, absolutely alone in the struggle with Hitler and Mussolini. We had to be ready to meet a German invasion of our own island. We had to defend Egypt, the Nile Valley, and the Suez Canal. Above all, we had to bring in the food, raw materials, and finished munitions across the Atlantic in the teeth of the German and Italian U-boats and aircraft, without which we could not live, without which we could not wage war. We have to do all this still. It seemed our duty in those August days to do everything in our power to help the Russian people to meet the prodigious onslaught which had been launched against them. It is little enough we have done for Russia, considering all she has done to beat Hitler and for the common cause. In these circumstances, we British had no means whatever of providing effectively against the new war with Japan. Such was the outlook that I talked with President Roosevelt in the middle of August on board the good ship Prince of Wales, now, alas, sunk. It is true that our position in August 1941 had seemed vastly better than it had been a year earlier, in 1940. When France had just been beaten into the awful prostration in which she now lies, when we were almost entirely unarmed in our own island, and when it looked as if Egypt and all the Middle East would be conquered by the Italians, who still held Abyssinia and had newly driven us out of British Somaliland. Compared with those days of 1940, when all the world except ourselves thought we were down and out forever, the situation the President and I surveyed in August 1941, there was an enormous improvement. Still, when you looked at it bluntly and squarely, with the United States neutral and fiercely divided, with the Russian army falling back with grievous losses, with the German military